and praise the Lord. Just love Him. Hallelujah. This is His house. Thank you, guys. This is His house. We come and worship Him and praise and magnify His name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have felt so connected with this message the Lord has dealt with me for the last month or so concerning shaping the heart. Last week we passionately preached on passion, and I think it's so vitally important. Our world today has a lot of passion for a lot of things, but I think the church has lost its true passion for God. We fill our weekends with so much stuff that it's hard for us to even concentrate and get to church, let alone concentrate to worship on Him. We have lost that passion. We have lost that goal to really be what God would have us to be. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to go to the next phase, shaping the heart on posture. If you would turn with me to the book of Revelations chapter 4. Revelations chapter 4. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. I do appreciate the Word of God and Him speaking to my heart. Revelations chapter 4, beginning with verse number 10. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Revelations 4, 10. You find it, say amen. And the four and the 20 elders fell down before Him that sit on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And the Amplified, it said in verse 10, And the 24 elders, the members of the heavenly Sanhedrin, fell prostrate before Him who sitting on the throne, and they worshipped Him who lived forever and ever. And they threw down their crowns before the throne and cried out, Worthy are You, our Lord, our God, to receive the glory and honor and dominion, for You created all things, and by Your will they were brought into being and were created. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Posture. You can read someone's attitude by their posture. You can read someone's character many times by the posture they pose. Communication with God does not require a certain physical posture to be profitable. But spiritual posturing does give an expression of the attitude of the heart. Perfect example is what we've talked about numerous times. And about a month ago, Chris taught on Mary and Martha. But the perfect example was Mary at Jesus' feet while Martha was cooking in the kitchen. Posture. If you will pardon me, but I feel like Martha could have been on the same wavelength as Mary if she had had a different posture while cooking the pasta. In her posture for worship, her attitude needed to be in proper position. Can I repeat myself one more time? A certain physical position isn't required to communicate with the Lord. Whether it's in worship, whether it's in praise, or whether it's in prayer. It's the posturing of the heart that makes connection with an Almighty God. A heart with a proper posture is a heart that needs God, a heart that is submissive to God, a heart that is obedient to God, a heart that is expecting from God, and a heart that has been restored to God. A person's posture will reveal their passion. A person's posture will reveal their passion. When we have no passion to come to Jesus, our posture is lacking. And the church of the living God today has become lazy, apathetic, and unconcerned. And the contents of what we can get in the weekend has become more of a priority than our posturing to worship and praise Him on Sunday. So I ask you today to ask yourself a very pertinent and a very important question. What is our posturing telling us? What is our posture explaining to us and our position where we need to be with God? David's posture of the heart is exposed in Psalms chapter 91 when he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Can I tell you that for someone to dwell in the secret place of Almighty God has to have a posturing of the heart that is receptive to God's will and God's ways, regardless denying self and seeking the Creator. David said, "He is my refuge, He is my fortress, and He is my God. In Him I trust. In Him I do trust." David had a posturing of the heart. It would be good perhaps this afternoon if all of us went home and read Psalms chapter 91 for lack of time here today. But I just want to let you know that David had a posturing of the heart that knew how to touch the heart of God. We must understand and realize that it is our posturing of the heart, just like it was David. Though he was not perfect, though he made many mistakes, he had a posturing of the heart that God said, "This man has a heart after God." David said in Psalms chapter 51, 10, 11, and 12, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." He wasn't talking to his sidekick. He wasn't talking to Jonathan. He wasn't talking to his friends, but he was talking to God. And I believe with all my heart, in his private chambers writing this letter to God, he had a posture of the heart when he said, "Create within me a heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David had a posturing to connect with God, and it was in that posturing that we see his passion for God. "Create within me a clean heart, O God." We see all through the times, through the Word of God, we see circumstances of different individuals being inundated with a posture because they had a passion. Don't forget, I mentioned to you, a person's posture reveals their passion. And we search through the Bible and we find that there were those that had a posture because their posture revealed their passion for the love of God and for the touch of God. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10, it talks about David going into his room and open up the window toward Jerusalem three times a day. Even after, this was his typical three times a day that he was going to his room, looking out toward Jerusalem and talking to God. He had a posture reaching out to God. And even after he had known about the decree that no one could talk to the ask any favors from anybody except the king during that period of time. But David said, "There's something more. There's a passion inside my heart that I've got to posture myself as I look toward Jerusalem." Jerusalem was a place and the kingdom of God. And he looked toward Jerusalem and he sought the God of heaven three times a day. His passion showed his posturing. His passion showed his posturing. It was in prayer. As I mentioned to you earlier, It does not matter what our physical posture is. It is our heart posture is what touches the heart of God. Can I tell you right quickly, can I just let you know that you can stand, you can kneel, you can raise your hands, you can lie flat on the floor, and you can go through the actions and you can go through the rituals, but can I tell you, unless your heart is postured toward God to receive from Him, you're not going to get anywhere. Can I just tell you today, it's only the posturing of your heart can one truly touch the heart of God. It's only the posturing of your heart that one can then and only then truly touch the heart of God. I love the whole Bible, but one of my favorite parts and passages of Scripture to read is when Solomon got to the point in the place that he was able to rebuild the temple. David had accrued all the material that was needed. Solomon put it back together and put everything together, and they called for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought into the temple, into God's house. And you'll find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You'll find it in 1 Kings chapter 8. And the awesomeness of how that Solomon was in such a posture to touch the heart of God. Hey, let me say one more time, the posturing of the heart is the only way that we can touch the heart of God. And Solomon, in 1 Kings 8 and 54, when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees, and his hands spread toward heaven. Can I tell you, church, that it was his heart that was postured toward God. We find in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we find that Solomon was pleading with God. Israel had sinned and come back to God. They'd sinned and come back to God. They'd sinned and come back to God. And many times we use 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, which it says, "My people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Then will I turn and I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land." All that was said and done after Solomon had positioned his heart and had postured his heart to say, "God, if we return to you, will you really still hear us? God, if you hear, if we cry out to you, if we posture our heart, hear me today, church. We need a revival in our land today. We need a revival in our hearts and our lives today." Solomon was crying out for the children of Israel. "Oh God, help us to posture our heart that we might hear from you." And God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." What the world, the United States of America, what the world but the United States needs today is a reposturing of their heart to cry out to God and say, "God, please send us a revival. Give us that passion. Help us to posture our heart." Oh, sometime this week, would you please read that passage of Scripture again, 1 Kings 8 and 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's posturing the heart that presents ourselves to a living God. We find in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it said that we must present our bodies a living sacrifice, a holy, acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. It's just our reasonable service after all that Christ did for us. It's our reasonable service that we cry out to Him and we offer ourselves a complete sacrifice to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Must present our bodies a living sacrifice. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, he said, "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart." That takes a posturing. That takes an identification that we love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our being. We would be foolish men to think that we was going to impress our wives with our romantic words of love while we're watching a ball game or Matt Dillon. Hello? We would be foolish to think that would be an impact upon their lives regardless, and upon their hearts regardless of what words we used, if we was infatuated with something else while we was trying to relate our relationship. Will somebody hear me this morning? And it's the same thing when we come to God's house. We would be foolish to think that we're trying to relate our love and our passion toward God when we're thinking about what we've got to do after a while, or what we've done yesterday, or what we've got to do this week. Hey, come on somebody, preach with me for just a little bit. You know I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to get you to a place that you can enter into the holies of holies, to where you can go behind the veil, where you can reach the throne of God, that you can present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you can say, hey God, it's me. My heart is in a place to receive from you. You and I worship you with everything that's within me. It's the passion of the heart we must get through to God as we posture ourselves. As we posture ourselves in prayer, we can be standing, we can be kneeling, we can be raising our hands, we can be lying out flat on the floor, but it's the heart that we must posture to reach and touch the throne of God. It's the same way with worship. We can stand, we can kneel, we can raise our hands, we can lay out flat, we can sing the songs, and we can lift our hands, and we can close our eyes, or we can peek around and see who else is closing their eyes and raising their hands. But unless our heart is postured toward God, it is nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We've got to get in touch with God with our hearts. Romans 12:1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I already made that said that scripture a while ago, or quoted it. But I also said this a while ago, and I'll probably say it several more times. It's only the posture of the heart that can touch the heart of God. Posturing of the heart. I look what time it is. It's only 11:30. Or 10:30. It's 10:30, isn't it? I know that's what y'all wanted to hear. I could feel it. You've postured your heart. Brother Hewitt told me, he said, just take your liberty, brother. You got an extra hour this morning. Just let her rip, tater chip. It's posturing. I don't know if you have realized it or not, but God put this passion of this message on my heart to relate to you, to help you realize that there has to be a transformation of the heart. And it's only through our heart that we can touch the heart of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. This is part of Solomon beginning to prepare and dedicate the temple of God. But in 2 Chronicles 6, 12 through 14, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation. In the presence of all the congregation, he spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and knelt down upon his knees before the congregation of Israel. And he spread forth his hands toward heaven. Can I tell you, it wasn't just a ritual that Solomon was going through. And he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven nor in earth, which keepeth covenants and showeth mercy unto his servants, and walketh before thee with all their heart. All their hearts. There was a time that Solomon walked before God with all of his heart. And then there was a time that he allowed his wives to take away the sovereignty of his heart away from God and in other directions. But in this 14th verse, he said, God, I am so thankful that you show up mercy to your servant that walks before you with all of their hearts. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38, and Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. He said, this is the first and the greatest commandment, and that which is to follow is to love your neighbor as yourself. But he said, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, everything that is within you, love the Lord thy God. I think about Jacob as he went to the rock and he wrestled there with the Lord all night long with such a passion and a fervency. You with me? With such a passion and a fervency that his posture changed when the sun rose the next morning, to where they could tell, his kids and his wives and his servants could tell, that he had been with God Almighty all night long. His posture was changed. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1 when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. He got to a place that it was so, in such a passionate posture, he could not speak, but he seen the glory and the power of God as his train filled the temple. Can I tell you, that church, that this is the only way that we can truly communicate with God, and that's with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and all three of these passions share in shaping the hearts of an individual. It's the passion, it's the posture, and it's the attitude. Your posture reveals your passion, and your passion shows your attitude. Oh, can I say it one more time? Thank you. All I need is one vote. Your posture reveals your passion. Your posture reveals your passion, and your passion shows your attitude. So I'm going to take the next few minutes and talk about the attitude of the heart. The attitude of the heart. Your passion will develop a relationship with God if it's put in the right direction. I don't know why, but this little squirrel, this guy, he intrigues me. The first time I seen him, I thought, I want to be able to stand up on a park bench like that and just worship the Lord. And I heard that. Somebody said, well, you're squirrely enough to do it. So, but that's all right. As long as my posture, my heart posture is right. Right? Hey, hello. Your passion will be developed with a relationship with God. Your posture will create a heart for God. And your attitude will shape your character for God. Ain't that gooder than grits and greater than gravy? You need me to repeat that again? Your passion will develop a relationship with God. Your posture will create a heart for God. And your attitude will shape your attitude or your character for God. Your attitude will shape your character for God. Proverbs 15, 13 through 15, a merry heart maketh cheerful countenance, but the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him, it's what we talked about in Sunday school class, Brother Chris taught on being an encourager. It's our attitude. How many knows we choose what our attitude is? We can wake up in the morning grumpy, or we can let them sleep. But we make up our mind what our attitude is going to be. I've heard and I've said it myself, that person makes me so mad. No, you allow that person. You allow that person to make you mad. You allow that person to mess up your attitude that day. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. A continental feast, a variety, because you choose. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. We choose, church, to have a merry heart. We choose how we posture our spiritual lives. Do we come into the house of God like David said, I enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise? Or are we have already just had our attitude messed up by our spouse, and we're already fussing and fighting, and we're already in a position that God couldn't speak to us because our attitude and posture and passion has been shot? We choose to have a merry heart. We'll have church tonight, okay? We choose to have a merry heart. We choose how we posture our spiritual lives. It's our attitude to choose the mental state in which we live and act. There are 12 attitudes of the heart that shape our character. You remember, our passion develops our relationship. Our posture will create a heart. Our attitude shapes our character. Well, there's 12 attitudes of the heart that shape our character. Are you ready for them? Again, I only needed one vote. The attitude of the heart shapes our character. In the heart condition creates an appeal of our personality, our attitude, and our personal mindset set, which is behind every motive. I told you last week at the very beginning, it's all a heart issue. It's a heart issue. The attitudes of the heart shapes our character. In the heart's condition, it creates an appeal of our personality and our attitude. It gives us a personal mindset, which is behind every motive in which we act. Every choice we make defines our true self. Every choice we make defines our true self. The heart expresses itself through our determined spirit, establishes our values and our condition, which drives our choices in life. The heart expresses itself through our determined spirit as it establishes our values and our conditions, which drives the choices of our lives. We choose to be an encourager, or we choose to be grumpy. We, as a child of God, should live with a purpose that we maintain a healthy heart, which is defined by striving to have a heart that is obedient to God. Church, can I tell you today that there's nothing more than what this world needs is someone with a right attitude and a right heart toward God to lead them in a purposeful life. We must cultivate a right attitude. How many knows it takes some cultivating? We must cultivate a right attitude. Some of you are looking at me like I have done messed up daylight saving time. And I have stretched myself into your time. But I'll try to expedite it and not hold you till tonight's service. We must cultivate. Man, this is powerful. We must cultivate a right attitude so that we may live a life of purpose. As we look at the 12 attitudes of the heart that will strengthen your walk with God, and it will cultivate the right attitude with man. To acknowledge the role in the part of life that you play. Are we an encourager? Are we always putting someone down? Are we always in the mully grubs? Some of you have never heard this song. You're not as old as some of the rest of us. You've never heard that song. But you go around singing it in your attitude, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark, depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Poor, poor me. We choose to stay in that mindset. We choose to walk in that mindset. But why would we want to choose to walk in that mindset when we've got a Savior in heaven above that shed His last drop of blood for us? We've got a Heavenly Father that loved us beyond our imagination. Regardless of what the world does, regardless of what you do, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son without any guarantee of accepting Him. He still gave. And Christ still walked the walk. It is shaping our attitudes. It's shaping our lives. It's helping us to cultivate a right attitude so that we'll understand the role that we need to play in life. So number one, love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. Make Him first priority in your life. Everything else falls in place when with a strong condition of the heart and a posturing of the heart. Everything else will fall in place if we'll put God first. Number two, be understanding in all things using wise discernment. You know what that means? Simply by being patient and perseverance and giving people space. Sorry, I can't go on to number three. It says something here. Don't go on to number three until you get a couple of amens. How come it is we want people to understand us, but we struggle with understanding others? Number three. Maybe there was more should have been said about number two before I go to number three. But this is creating the right attitude as we posture our heart and have a passion for Christ. Number three is guard your mouth against gossip. Be the friend that keeps others' secrets locked safe and never compromising your values. When you think you're about to die and you've got to say something, then just shut up. Number four, be forgiving in all things and trust God for true vindication. Oh my. Trust God. Trust God for true vindication. He knows what's best. He knows how to handle it. Be forgiving in all things. Be forgiving in all things. Number five, remove all pride. from our lives, for it eliminates the justification for forgiveness. I want that number five right there will preach about an hour and a half. Are you ready for the rest of them? Remove all pride. Think about it. Remove all pride from our lives, because when we have pride, it eliminates the justification to forgive. Number six, love your enemies, for love holds no wrongs. For an ounce of heart is worth a vessel of soul. Whew, I can feel somebody's about ready to shout right about now. I mean, you're feeling it. So all you can do is to contain yourself. Not. Number seven, let's move on. Stretch your faith and pledge a life of being born again and thanksgiving unto God. It's a personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to get you through life and maintain a positive attitude of the heart. Number eight, let go of fears. Let go of fears. And do not let them stand in your way of a life that you so deserve because of Jesus Christ. Ooh, glory. Let go of the fears, the things that you struggle with, that have you bound up, because it's keeping you from having the life that you deserve in Jesus Christ. Serve others out of the heart of gratitude and love, not because you have to, but because you get to. Be a peacemaker, for within it lies the kingdom of heaven. Be a peacemaker. Be an asset to the family of God, not a liability. Number 11, keep God's commandments and be committed to a standard of values in your own heart. Between you and God. Certain places I don't go. There's certain things I don't. Certain things that I don't do. There's certain words I don't use. I'm creating an attitude of the heart that I can be an asset and not a liability. Love unconditionally and be devoted to each other as in brotherly love. For love is a choice. Hello. Love is a choice. And an expression of brotherly love is the same type of love that you would find in a healthy family. Jesus is the greatest example of that brotherly love. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm closing, I think. Chris, can we go ahead and come to the piano? When we create an attitude of the heart's motivation will be these things. In Romans chapter 13, verse number 9 and 10 says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse number 10 said, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." He did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Romans 12, 9 through 13 said, "Love must be sincere." Say what? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, that's passion. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, sharing with God's people who are in need, pray. practicing hospitality. You find patience, you find posture, and you find attitude in Romans 12, 9 through 13. So I ask you today, give yourself an attitude checklist. A determined spirit is a mindset, finding true heart knowledge, desiring a determination of the will. Every human is born with a nature that seeks gratification and fulfillment apart from God. But it's only through God that we can find true gratification. Learn to do what's right because it is right. Not for what you can get out of it. A humble person is quick to forgive, difficult to offend, and joyful waits on God. A humble person says, I have no problem forgiving you, for I have given enough problems on my own. Being grateful in all circumstances. Positive thoughts can induce power into your life. Waiting on God to bring it to pass. And while you're waiting, realizing that God is stretching your faith. And while you're waiting, find the joy of your life that only God can give. Amen. Through the desires, through the passion, through the posture, through the attitude, we can be a better child of God and a better Christian. Would you stand with me all over the house today? Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, I love you, I appreciate you, and I thank you, Almighty God. You're God. We trust you, we believe in you. And we know, Lord, that your word will not return void. And I pray, God, and in all my verbiage, Lord, that much of it will be forgotten only in the aspect that the Spirit speaks expressively to each heart. God, it's not my words, but it's your Spirit that makes a difference. So I pray, God, that you will help our lives to cultivate a passion. Lord, as we posture ourselves to receive what you have for us and give you what you deserve, help us, oh God, to create an attitude that we are a servant to others, a servant to you by being a servant to others. Ask these things in Jesus' precious name we pray. How many could just lift your hands toward heaven right now and say, oh God, create in me a right spirit. Renew a right heart within me, oh God. Create a right attitude. Teach me, oh God, that I might be all that you'd have me to be. Lord, I love you, I appreciate you. Hallelujah. Can we just take a minute or two to just love him? Lord, thou art worthy. Lord, I love you, Jesus. testimony. He's not going to be here tonight. He has to work, but he has a testimony. I'm going to ask him if he would give his brief testimony and close us out in prayer. Brother Randall, would you care to do that, sir?